Words to Mouth, Show Number 16, June 20th, 2008. Today, Jason Van Orden, author of Promoting Your Podcast and his newest e-series, Community Magnet. You gotta believe in you. You gotta have faith in all you do. You gotta stay strong. No matter what comes your way, get on your knees. So you won't stray. You gotta believe. Welcome to Words to Mouth, an author interview talk show where readers meet authors beyond the printed page. I'm your host, Carrie, and I produce this show to introduce you to authors and the books they write. This show is a companion to my blog website at wordstomouth.com, where you can enter to win free books. Today, everyone is a winner, because Jason Van Orden provides his information for free. Visit his website at jasonvanorden.com for links to his newest material, Community Magnet. Jason is a man of many hats. He's a musician, podcaster, and new media expert. He's the author of Promoting Your Podcast and his newest e-series, Community Magnet. Jason hosts Internet Business Mastery with Jeremy Franzen, a.k.a. Sterling, and the Podcasting Underground. He's involved in a lot of different things, so what I'll do is put links to all of these in the show notes. The reason I wanted to talk to Jason today is he's an author, but more so, he can help business people with developing community around their product or services. And if you're an author, you can get some great ideas about increasing your listeners or increasing your readers by building community. So here we go. I do appreciate you taking time out of your crazy schedule because I can see that you've got so many hats that you wear.
Too many.
I wanted to have you on Words to Mouth to help you promote the Community Magnet, you know, the series that you just put out there, and offer to my listeners who have businesses to talk to them a little bit about new media and podcasting and how that can benefit them, and then specifically how authors can utilize podcasting and social media to build audience around their books. But I wanted to start out and just have you give us a little bit of personal background on you and how you got into podcasting. And you're in New York City right now, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But are you permanently living in Buenos Aires?
No, that was just a 3-month stint, and now we're here for a bit. And I don't know. We're kind of nomadic at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I looked at your bio, and it sounds like you're kind of used to that with all the travel that you've done. And I saw that you grew up in Alaska.
Yep.
There was a story about a yellow school bus.
Yeah.
What was that about?
We did one time when my family moved from Alaska to the lower 48, as they refer to it up there. It can be pricey to have a whole bunch of stuff moved from Alaska, since it's not, it's really, you know, not all that close, and it's not even attached to mainland United States. But
Right. Anyway,
so what we did is we found a school district that was selling, you know, an old fleet of buses, basically. And so my dad bought one of those and cleaned out all of the seats out of it. And then we just loaded all our worldly possessions in there. And up in the front, we put, you know, couches and made a bed and kind of turned it into a mobile home type situation. And drove that thing from Alaska down the Alaska-Canada Highway and down to the lower 48, where we were going to be living in Washington.
That's great. You're like the Partridge Family.
Crazy adventure. Par for my family, really, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I think it keeps you thinking outside the box. I mean, I read that you had landed a corporate job after college, and then you just weren't happy with that. And so, you know, I think that kind of upbringing keeps you open to different possibilities. Can you talk a little bit about your musical background and kind of walk us into how you got into podcasting and all this new media arena?
Sure. Well, the music thing happened. I mean, I've been a musician most of my life, and you know, starting in like fourth grade with, you know, school band and stuff. But so it's always been a large passion. You know, just something I love doing. And I'm actually a guitarist now, and played in several bands. And so that's kind of what's lended itself to an audio background that I I've brought into my podcasting pursuits as well. And in college I studied electrical engineering, but with kind of an audio engineering angle, I guess, because I wanted to try to meld music and engineering and stuff. engineering being my choice just because it's like, well, I'm good at math, I'm good at science, let's do something responsible and get a good job type thing. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, once I got out and I was like, okay, this corporate setting is not for me, this is not what I wanted to create for my life. And so through a lot of searching and trying different things, ended up kind of in doing internet business and internet marketing. And then when podcasting showed up, it was just kind of a good combination of a lot of things I enjoyed doing, like content creation on the internet, internet marketing, audio was part of that. You know, the technical aspects were something that I was good at because of my engineering background. But mostly the opportunity to learn something new and to teach people. I mean, teaching is something I always enjoy doing, and podcasting is a great way to teach and share information. So that's kind of what pulled me into podcasting. When it kind of showed up on my radar, I was like, wow, this is really cool, and this is definitely something I want to be known as an expert in. So that's what drew me towards that.
Well, I think you're definitely known as an expert in it now. So you, promoting your podcast, started out as an ebook, correct?
Yeah, basically early on, the idea, I mean, the thing I do very first whenever I want to be known in a particular niche, and I guess I should say that, I mean, my angle and the thing I try to teach people is you should try to position yourself, use your web presence to position yourself as an expert and a trusted advisor in your area, your topic, your niche, whatever the case may be. And so I made that decision about podcasting, and so one of the first things I did was started a tutorial site with just some very, you know, everyday layman's terms type information, because at the time there just wasn't any. It was all a bunch of geeks blogging about podcasting. Nobody could decipher, you know, you'd have to be technically inclined and then glean information from like a dozen different sources to finally figure out, well, how to do a podcast. And so I started that tutorial site, and then the next step was I wanted to have something that I could kind of have as an incentive for people to sign up for my email list, because that's another thing I always do first thing is start building an email list. So, and I wanted it to be something that could be passed around a bit and start, you know, that brand that I wanted to build up as an expert in podcasting. And so an ebook seemed like a good thing to do. And I had been looking around at what podcasters most wanted to know about. And one of the questions that came up most often was, how do I promote my podcast? How do I get more people to listen or to watch once I've got it up? And this was, you know, all across the board, from beginners to advanced and from hobbyists to corporate podcasters. And so it just seemed like a good idea to use that topic. And so that's why I created an ebook. And it was only like a 30-page ebook with like 7 overall tips that I was offering up, free and inexpensive ways to promote your podcast. And eventually that's what got the attention of a publisher. Well, I mean, both my site as well as that ebook, and that's what led to actually writing a published version of that book, which is obviously a lot more fleshed out than 30 pages, but that's kind of how that process worked.
Right. And so is this one, the next one, is there a publisher taking a look at it already now, or is that something that you expect to come down the line?
The Community Magnet stuff, okay, so you're wondering if Community Magnet ebook, if I want to get that published?
Right.
Yeah, the Community Magnet was started as kind of a limited series. I mean, this is something I've been thinking a lot about lately, about the importance of building up a community of loyal fans, of loyal customers, and how that's really the most important thing that any business can do, is to build that relationship of trust with that kind of a community. And, I mean, really, that's what another thing that really attracted me to podcasting to begin with is, you know, I saw that as a great channel or medium for connecting with, attracting that audience, connecting with them, and then building that relationship up in order to develop that community. And so I wanted to put some content out there that really talked about that subject and made it clear what my kind of base message was. And, you know, it was a business should have this kind of community, and podcasting right now is one of the best channels I know of for building that kind of community. So right now the whole idea is just to get it out to on the internet. I mean, maybe someday I would want to certainly I'd love to write other books. It's obviously very time consuming to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see when the next actually officially published book might come around. But,
well, this all came out again from another survey that you did, correct, on your site? And the response that you got was that the survey that people wanted to know how to build loyal communities?
Yeah, I mean, I did a new survey of people that were, you know, in my audience recently, and there are, you know, three things at the top. I mean, it used to be that promoting your podcast was at the top, and now it's like slipped down to number two or number three. And so now it's, yeah, right up there at the top was, how do I build a community of people around my podcast so I can keep them coming back over and over again? And that was, yeah, I was really excited to see that because it is so important. I mean, people are starting to realize it's like, wow, okay, I can get people to listen to this podcast, but now it's actually more important to keep the listeners and the audience around that I already have than to find new ones. I mean, you constantly need to be finding new listeners, but, you know, just like any business would say, well, keeping your current customers is going to be cheaper and more profitable than always finding new ones. So, you know, in playing that balance, make sure you're not forgetting to keep the people around, and even maybe put a little more emphasis on keeping your current people around. So I think podcasters have started realizing it's like, well, now that I've got them listening, I need to keep them around and make them loyal fans of the show, loyal customers of my business. And then I was always also excited to see that, just because that is one of the things I really like to talk about most, is building up that kind of community, that kind of loyal community. So, that is a top interest of podcasters right now, which is a really good thing.
Can you give us a little bit, can you give us kind of the quick and dirty on the laws of creating raving fans that you talk about in the...
Yeah, sure. I mean, the first thing is that you've got to get people's attention in order for them to even care about who you are or what you have to say. And that's kind of one of the biggest tricks right now, or one of the hardest things. I mean, everybody right now, I mean, we all have so many inputs on our daily lives from so many different sources, so many things trying to, you know, grab our attention and our mind share. And if you just think of all the media that we have in our lives, and we have our cell phones and instant messaging and email and, you know, ads around us everywhere and on the TV and radio and everything like that, that it's just not possible to be paying attention to all of it. So, you know, we get really good at filtering stuff out and just finding what's most relevant to us. And so it's really important for anybody with an important message to share, such as a business or a coach or a consultant or, you know, a teacher, anything like that, that they have to know how to magnetically get the attention of somebody, so that they can go, oh yeah, okay, this is something relevant to me, and I like what's being said here. I want to, you know, continue to see what value is offered by this person or this business. And so creating just super relevant serial content like podcasts and blogs is a great way to do that. So that's kind of the initial point that I make, is that you got to get people's attention first. And then once you got their attention, you keep on reminding them of the value that you offer and continue to start building up a relationship and getting them to trust the information that you offer. And because the community is all built on these relationships of trust. And so getting these people, building up your kind of a quote-unquote trust account with the different people that find and enjoy your content. And so once that relationship starts forming, then that's when, you know, it becomes a lot easier to have some, you know, any kind of influence, because the ultimate goal is, well, you want people to act, whether it's to buy, whether it's to refer your business to other people, whether it's to maybe review or give you feedback or rate you online, whether it's to vote if you were like a political person, maybe it's donate if you're some kind of nonprofit. There's some kind of action you want them to take, and that requires influence. And if you've built up this relationship of trust, then, you know, often just asking and offering calls to action that are also beneficial to them is going to be sufficient then to get your audience, your constituents, your customers to act. And so, you know, ultimately, that's kind of the process of how it works, just in a nutshell.
Can you talk about the specific pieces of building community? I listened to a conversation that you had with Cliff Ravenscraft for the, what is it, GSPN TV? You know, from my standpoint, like, I've got this author interview show, and I've just started out recently. So there's all these things that I think about, wow, it would be neat to have, you know, an online book club, a forum, and all that. But what are the priorities of the pieces of building community, and how should you do that? Like, in what order should you do that?
Well, the first thing is to start that communication channel, that content, the relevant, the frequently updated, relevant content. So you identify who your market is, who it is you're trying to reach. You find out what kinds of things they want. What are their pains? What are their questions? What are the things? And if you already have a business, just think, well, what are the things that we always get asked when somebody comes into our office, or when somebody calls us, or when somebody emails us? And so start creating content whether it's through blogging or podcasting or video or a combination of all those things on a regular basis, because that's going to get your, that's going to establish your presence, that's going to start getting it out there where people are searching and, you know, get in front of them, and then that's where that attention thing starts. Then the next thing to do is you got to give them a means by which to, you know, the way I say it is to raise their hand and say, yeah, you know what, this is interesting to me. I'd like to have more content, more information. I'd like to, you know, start a relationship with you. And so a lot of times that's, you know, the two main things that I do there is I allow them to subscribe to my podcast. And I also always, always, always make sure I have an email list. In fact, that's one of the top priorities of, you know, any website I create is, I mean, I mentioned with my ebook, you know, I made that because I wanted an incentive for people to sign up and start that, you know, have that permission, my permission from them that I could continue to contact them. So that's one of the second things to do is make sure that they have a means to raise their hand and say, yes, let's, you know, continue to send me content. I want to start a relationship here. I mean, you know, they might not be thinking those words, but that's essentially what's going on.
Right.
And then, of course, you continue to then send content out on a regular basis. And I try to send an email newsletter every week. I put up my podcast every couple times every month. And so they're continuing to get this content, being reminded of the value that I offer, and being reminded of, you know, just my brand and who I am, and the connection continues. Then the next thing is you want to start interacting with them. You want to start, you know, I always make sure that in my blog posts I ask a question, or I, you know, try to incite some kind of response and get their feedback, their input, or their further questions. Because when people are interacting with you, then that's also going to further the relationship and hence the community. And so I always try to make sure there's some kind of call to action there. You know, let me know what you think. Let me know what your top question is about this. Let me know what experiences you've had with this, something like that. And then once you get them interacting with you, well, try and see if you can't get them to interact with each other as well, because the community interaction is going to be, you know, consist of those two things, interacting with you, but also making it so that you are providing a place where your site, your show, your brand, or whatever you want to, you know, say, is a place where people come to interact with other people who are like-minded. And so that's where, you know, things like commenting on the blog, they'll start, when you start seeing them interact that way, you know, you might want to think about having some kind of forum or forums on your site, or maybe you start a private membership site of some sort where there's, you know, community and networking and social networking type features where, you know, they have profiles and they can connect with each other. I mean, think of, you know, Facebook or something like that. I mean, if you had something like that on a more micro level for your own brand, then obviously that's going to get them interacting with each other. And when you provide that kind of place, I mean, that's where your community is really taking root, and people are going to continue to come back again and again and again, not only to connect with you, but then to connect with other people like them. And this works great because when it comes down, I mean, I mentioned trust is kind of the foundation of these relationships, and relationships are the foundation of the community. Well, the thing that people trust most right now when it comes to making decisions, and this is based on a survey by Edelman, they trust, number one, their peers, and number two, experts. And so if you've branded yourself as an expert and provided them a community where they can interact with peers, well, then you're building up a healthy trust account there. And hence a good influence with a community of loyal people and loyal fans. So those are kind of the steps. I'd say identify the market, find out what they want, start creating serial content, get them to raise their hand and sign up in some way so you can continue to contact them. Then start interacting with them, then get them to interact with each other. And that's kind of what's going to lead to having a community.
Okay, well, now, I might kind of bumble around in here. It just got me thinking about things when you talk about those two, you know, experts and peers. One of the things that I think about with this new media space, you know, there's a lot of talk about podcasting not necessarily being the be-all, end-all. There's talk about that video is more important or some of the other social media. And so when you're talking about the peer aspect, to me, like I'll just put out there like the DivaCast, or you've got the Manic Mommies, or those type of shows, and that's, you know, just in my kind of circle with being a woman and that type of thing, where you're building those relationships with women. I mean, the whole reason that we started out was to really encourage women to you know, forge female friendships and that type of thing. And I guess my question is about making money doing podcasting, doing something that you're passionate about. I mean, you mentioned in your ebook that you have to know why you're in it, and there's got to be integrity. There's got to be, you know, there's got to be honesty in it. It can't be, the intent cannot be to make money. And I guess it makes a difference whether you're in podcasting to promote a specific book or a service or a business versus podcasting for the sake of, you know, like I'm saying with these different shows, kind of providing a service that's not really business oriented. Are you following what I'm saying? Like with
yeah,
okay.
Certainly there. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I guess my question is, with trying to, you know, basically pay bills and make a living doing things that, and I'm just being, I guess I'll just ask this specifically from my own standpoint, is that I got into podcasting kind of by accident as something sort of as a fun thing to do and really fell in love with it. And then, you know, took it to another level with my writing experience. And the hard part for me is like, well, I love to do this, but it is time consuming and there's, you know, I need to find a way to pay my bills. So, you know, my intent to get into it was there, you know, to provide a service, to encourage authors and to inform readers on new books that are out and all that. But when it comes to, I guess, monetizing that a little bit in order to make some money, I know that you talked about premium membership, but when it comes to like advertisers and sponsors, do you feel like they really understand podcasting or really understand that personal relationship that you have with listeners?
Do the advertisers and sponsors,
yeah,
do they understand that? Some of them do, some of them don't. And to tell you the truth, I mean, to tell you the truth, it's not really something I even care about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean to say that like flippantly, but the thing is that really for the people, at least for the people that I'm trying to reach and the message I'm trying to communicate to them, you know, sure, monetization, sponsorship and advertising is an option. It's there. But I've certainly seen, I mean, I've made a whole lot more money just doing premium content and other avenues. And I've seen other people be able to make a whole lot more money than the, you know, $5, $10, $15 CPM or whatever you can get through advertising and sponsorships.
Right.
And that's one, I guess that's another reason why I release this community magnet stuff is, you know, in the past I've kind of made a few comments here and there about, yeah, okay, making money with advertising. But to tell you the truth, that's just, I mean, that's not my message. My message is that the money is not, and to speak to a few different points that you kind of put there, I mean, the money is not in podcasting per se. It's in the equity in your business is with your, I mean, what I call the community. It's with the group of people who trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, podcasting is a means to attract people and develop that relationship. But where the money is offering incredible value, something that those people want.
Right.
You know, offering incredible value to a community of people who have a need, are aware of that need, have money to spend on that need, are, you know, and I point a few of those things out because let's say you're trying to, I mean, having been a musician in the past, I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to help out independent musicians? Well, unfortunately, a lot of them are starving artists and don't have necessarily the money to pay me for the kinds of things I want to teach. So, you know, you got to ask questions like that based on what you're trying to establish. But I think, so yeah, when it comes to advertisers and sponsors, some of them understand, some of them don't. I know there's a lot of people working hard to help them understand. It's really not something I'm all that interested in because all my money's come from premium content or just through affiliate marketing. In that case, you know, I don't have to convince any business about, if they have an affiliate program, say like on Amazon, and I want to refer something on Amazon to my clients, I don't have to convince Amazon about the value of podcasting. I just go and share something with my audience and say, hey, you can click here to go buy it if you want.
So you think it's more, you know, maybe more of a useful tool for people that have a particular, like yourself, like have a business or a book or product or service, like a business coach maybe, or a business consultant, that's really, podcasting is really outside of, you know, I'm saying outside of a hobby or a passion just to do it because you enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, and that's certainly, I mean, podcasting's great for that too, but it's certainly a question you have to ask yourself and an answer you need to determine, you know, now versus later, because, you know, your decisions are going to be very different depending on what your ultimate goals are. And, I mean, ultimately, the people I'm trying to reach with this message are the business owners, because I know that, you know, they stand to, you know, make more money and be able to accomplish their goals. And so that's going to have a worth to them. That's worth them paying me money for that. I mean, I certainly hope that any kind of hobbyist, I mean, by all means, please listen to my free content. I hope you enjoy it. It's out there too. But see, I'm making all the decisions I make about my content and what I put online and the way I conduct my business based on this very specific person I'm trying to reach who is the business owner who has or wants to be a business owner, wants to start a business and reach a particular target market with whatever value it is that they want to offer to that market. And so, yeah, I mean, up front, that is a question you need to ask yourself. Am I wanting to do this for money or is this just for fun? And if this is for money, then I really need to think about who is it that I'm trying to reach so that I could be making the right decisions to make this a mutually beneficial and for me, financially beneficial, venture.
Yeah.
So those are some of the considerations that need to be made.
With authors, you know, if I think about that, it's like, well, with podcasting, it may be different. You know, the author who is selling a book that is self-improvement or business-related, you know, may be different than someone who is a novelist. I mean, we've got, you know, the example of J.C. Hutchins, who's done phenomenally well with his work. Building that community. I mean, it's amazing. And that might be, you know, do you think that's an anomaly or do you think that he's started a trend?
No, I think that's certainly possible that an author, I mean, you're correct in what you're saying is that there's kind of a distinction there, but that's certainly possible for, say, a fiction-based author to be able, I mean, I don't know, if I was a fiction author, I'd want to start a podcast and use that as a way to connect with my readers because, you know, I can only put out a book every so often, so how am I going to keep them thinking about me and their mind share on me between books? I can get direct feedback on what is it that they want in the next book. I can, you know, I mean, it's just all kinds of useful stuff and having that kind of a podcast. Just like, I mean, I think any musician, I mean, I've seen some brilliant bands have podcasts or YouTube channels and just, you know, do incredible stuff with connecting with their audience and getting feedback and sharing their songwriting. And that's just going to connect them to you. Now, me as a podcaster, if I was trying to reach authors, I mean, I would make that distinction. I'd be like, okay, there's going to be probably less of the, fiction authors that I can reach and have this be a profitable venture for them. Mm-hmm. So what I would be going after is, okay, I'm trying to reach the coaches, consultants, businesses, whatever that, you know, want to be authors as another way to share their stuff. And so, you know, those are the people that I'm going to focus on because for me, I'm going to be able to financially make it work better by trying to reach those people than trying to reach the starving artist, you know, a fiction author. And that's just because of the nature of knowing who your audience is and are they aware of a problem and do they have money to spend on that problem kind of thing. So it is important to, and again, you might make your podcast for the people who do stand to make money from their the things that they author, but by all means, you know, the fiction writers, you know, listen and hopefully derive, you know, find some useful tips and things from my content at the same time. But I mean, that's just, yeah, the nature of being able to make money with your podcast and your business and considering who your audience is and can they spend money.
Yeah, and adding all those different pieces that you were talking about before with the blog and the forums. And there's one author that I spoke with a couple months ago. Her name was Kate Jacobs, and she has, or a couple authors that I've spoken with actually have had really great websites that have forums and, you know, a really big audience. And actually, I think that might be a big reason why they've, you know, become so successful. And it's an avenue for people for authors to specifically look into, I think. What do you think about, there's been a lot of discussion about audio podcasting and, you know, versus video. I noticed that you've recently put video on your site. What's the relevance of video and how do you plan to leverage that?
Well, here's my stance on, I mean, there's a statement I made in one of my podcasts recently, and that was that if you want to make money, if you want to be profitable in what you're doing, stop being a podcaster. Now, the idea there was not to stop podcasting, but again, this comes down back to the foundation of what's important is that you are a person with a product, a service, a message, something of value to offer to a very specific target market. And my stance is you should communicate that message across as many, viable channels as you can. And, you know, podcasting is absolutely one of them. But think of yourself as, I am a coach, I'm a consultant, I'm a pundit, I'm a whatever. You know, podcasting is just one of my channels. Putting video out there, say on video sharing sites, is just another one of my channels. Blogging is just another one of my channels. Email newsletter is just one of my channels. And you may repurpose your content across all of those channels, meaning reusing some of the same content because not everyone's going to, you know, they're all going to choose the ones that they like the best, the channel that's most conducive to them consuming your content. So my idea in, I'm an audio podcaster. I think that works well for what I'm communicating. I don't, you know, often necessarily necessarily need to, well, that's not true. I mean, there definitely is some aspects where video is useful. So you just have to ask yourself, okay, well, who is my audience? What do they prefer? What, sometimes I create a video because it's something, a screencast where I want to show them my computer screen, an exact tutorial of how to do something. But, you know, I don't need to have a video of just another talking head of me saying something, at least not every time. So, you know, something I've started doing is I create my regular audio podcast, but then on occasion, you know, maybe I'll come up with something where, you know, I'll want to make a little video screencast or show something, and then I put that out there through, a site like TubeMogul.com, which then blasts it out to YouTube and Blip and all, you know, Rever, like a dozen of the different most popular video sharing sites. And the reason that's important is just because all of those are content search engines. All of those have their, you know, there's eyeballs on all of those sites, and I'm trying to get the attention of people looking for content like mine. And so I want to have a web presence that's far-reaching and in all these different places. It's in iTunes, it's in YouTube, and so that's why I try to use as many different channels as I can to get my message out there. So, you know, yes, I'm a podcaster, yes, I'm a blogger, yes, on occasion I'm a YouTuber or whatever, but really what it is I am a coach, a consultant with a certain message about community building and podcasting, and I'm going to use as many of those channels. Those are all just tools, channels for my message to get out there, and I don't think necessarily that one of them is better than the other by default. It just depends on what it is you're trying to communicate, who it is you're trying to communicate to. I mean, if you're going specifically for, oh, I'm going to make my money off of ads and sponsorships, well, then I may say, well, you might want to look towards video because it does seem to be easier to attract advertisers and sponsors with video right now.
They want to see their product in people's hands or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not, you know, somebody, an author or somebody comes to me like, well, which is better? Should I do video or audio? You know, I'm not going to have a default to tell them. I'm going to say, well, you should probably be doing both and tell me about who it is you're trying to reach and what you're trying to say. I mean, if you're an author who talks about woodworking, well, then maybe video is going to be best because you're going to maybe be showing them all this different woodworking stuff, right? But, all my content, sometimes I want to show them, well, here's a trick I did on my blog, so let me show you and let you see it through video. But sometimes it's just me talking like this with you, and, you know, this doesn't necessarily need to be a video because it's information that they can take on the go, and they don't have to, like, sit down and be watching it per se. So the moral of the story, I guess, there is just, you know, use as many channels as you can. Maybe focus on the one that seems most appropriate for your audience, but then use as many of the other ones as you can and repurpose that content across many channels.
That helps me clarify because, I mean, oftentimes I thought, well, you know, specific for the DivaCast, I'm thinking, well, you know, the everyday woman is the proverbial multitasker, and we're out, you know, we're at the gym, we're shopping, we're doing whatever, housework, and, you know, that's when I listen to my content. So I'm like, I don't have time to sit in front of a computer screen, but that makes sense that, you know, if I get on YouTube and I happen to see a video here and there, that gets people to your site and then to your podcast, you know, that makes sense to me then. Okay. Just have to kind of process it. Yeah. Well, how can listeners get a hold of your Community Magnet series?
All right. Well, the Community Magnet series, right now it's a video and a group of audios, and I'm trying to finish up an ebook version if I can. If nothing else, it's all there in video and audio. So let's see. Probably the best way to get it is to go to communityofravingfans.com.
Okay.
communityofravingfans.com, and that will forward you over to the first video that you can watch. And then if you put your email in, you're on the list to get the other little episodes. And right now, it's just a limited series of a few different episodes, but I'm trying to decide if it's something I'm going to continue on with because, again, it is such an important message, something I'm very passionate about. So I may be integrating that more into my content creation ventures. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's where everyone can get the stuff so far.
Well, I'll definitely put a link in my show notes, and along with some of the other you're involved with. You've got the Podcasting Underground and Internet Business Mastery, and you also have Gotham Cast. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, the Gotham Cast has kind of been retired. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was something I was doing early on. But Internet Business Mastery and Community Magnet are two that I'm, and then Podcasting Underground are the ones that I'm focusing on the most right now.
Now, are you? What's next for you, Jason? Are you going to be? Are you speaking at the New Media Expo this year?
Yeah, that's the only speaking engagement that I'm doing this year. With all the traveling and stuff I've been doing, that's the only one that I scheduled in. But I will definitely be there. It's become a tradition of one of the ones I enjoy going to the most and speaking at the most. So I will be there.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah. So I also have an upcoming membership site that I'm going to be putting together. And so as I was talking about earlier, premium content being a great source of revenue, I want to create. I'll still always have my free podcasts out there, but I'm creating a couple different one for Internet Business Mastery and one for basically my podcasting crowd of people. And this will be kind of an insider's membership site where there'll be premium content that you can only get inside of there, and there'll be community aspects and things like that to connect with other online content creators. So in the next couple months, I'll be putting those sites out as an additional resource.
That sounds great. Okay, well, I appreciate your time so much. I know you're busy, and it's just a wealth of information, so I'll make sure I put the links on the site. I just wish you all the very best.
All right, thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Jason. Take care. Okay, as I said, I will put links on wordstomouth.com with all of the site information for Jason Van Orden. And as a business owner or an author, please go check out Community Magnet because there is a ton of great information. I wanted to put out a special thank you to Carol Abernathy. She commented on my site about 20 Wishes, which is Debbie Maycomer's most recent novel. I love what Carol says about feeling more tolerant and compassionate after reading the book. She said it made her appreciate her friends and their individual circumstances in life, inspired her to want to record her own wishes and more. So go check out her comment and leave one of your own. It would be fun to get into conversation about a particular book, and Debbie's would be a great one to start with. You can always call me at 206-309-7318 and leave a voicemail message. I can play it on air, or I don't have to if you don't want me to, but I just would love to get some interaction. If you'd like to get this show delivered to your computer for free, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. And as always, thank you to Natalie Brown for her song, You Gotta Believe, from the PodSafe Music Network. A shout out to Jeannie Briggs. You won a book, girlfriend, and I need your mailing address. So if you hear this, send me an email at carrie@wordstomouth.com and I'll get your book in the mail. Okay, everybody, take good care, and thanks for listening.